And we're back. It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So glad that you're tuning in and listening. Today is going to be interesting because today I'm just letting you know from the top that I'm a little fired up on what I'm going to be talking about today. And we're going to look at a number of different things, but today is going to be driven by the news that has been, if you've watched any news and seen different cases that are going on. Today we're going to talk about a case that happened out west and with a Stanford student and a rape victim and everything. And so we're going to be talking about that. If we had a theme for today's show, the theme would be value. Do we value life? Do we even talk about it? So I've discussed this topic at length. I mean, you can go back and listen to old podcasts. You can read some of my blogs. Every opportunity I get, I'm talking about the value of life. Why do we have issues in our society? Why is the murder rate so high? Why? We just heard a story before I came on about a lady who was upset about some text message her husband sent, and she killed him. So why do these things happen? They happen because we devalue life. So we can't be shocked and surprised when we devalue life in every situation. We can't be shocked and surprised when someone does something that hurts or abuses life. So I'm going to continue to talk about it. Every opportunity I get, I'm going to talk about the value of life. So the narrative of the day does not warrant valuing life. We will see no correction without first starting here. This starts at home and goes from there. So we must first start at our house, with our spouses, with our kids. We must start there and let them know the value of life. Does your child, can they look at you and see, yes, my mom, yes, my dad values life? Would they list that as an attribute of yours? If it's not, then you need to do some work. So it starts at home. This starts at home. It starts with teaching boys to be men. Now that goes against the grain. It is insane to me that in society, teaching a boy to be a man is somehow inappropriate. Well, it's not inappropriate. Teaching a girl to be a woman is not inappropriate. I have a 3-year-old. When she has a dress on and she sits a certain way, what do? We correct her. And how do we say it? We say, you're not sitting like a lady. Is that inappropriate? No, the way she's sitting is inappropriate. My son, who is 5, if he walks in front of a woman instead of holding the door open, and I correct him, and I say, ladies go first. Is that inappropriate? No, that's preparing him to be a man. So it's not out of bounds to do that. But folks, this is against the grain of society. And the crazy thing is, society is trying to have it both ways. There is no gender, yet here we see otherwise. We should care about no gender, but women should be treated a certain way. Everything should be equal. Men and women should be fighting on the front lines in war. Women should be drafted just as men are. These are the arguments that society makes. But yet then they complain about a rape culture. They complain about a sexual assault culture on campuses and other places. So it is not out of line to show the value of life. I told you I was fired up today. So I can stand today in opposition of what I'm about to read to you because my appreciation for life is consistent. And that's not being boastful, that's just being truthful. Do you value life? Do you stand for life? Are you consistent with that? Because I'm telling you, and I'm not overstating this, but future generations depend on how we react and handle these situations. That is not an overstatement. I'm in the process of watching the HBO series on John Adams. And you look at what these men did to bring about the country that we currently live in. The boldness that they took. Why? Because they knew that the decisions that they were making, the votes that they were making, the documents that they were writing would determine life for generations to come. And they were willing to sacrifice it all for what was right. So it's not an overstatement to say that our actions and our work in this endeavor is important. And we're never going to see the problem work itself out if we don't first look at the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is a lack of value in life. So the case that I'm referring to is a case with Brock Turner, who is 20, who was sentenced to 6 months in county jail, 3 years probation, and to register as a sex offender. He was charged with assault with intent to commit rape of an intoxicated, unconscious person. Penetration of an intoxicated person and penetration of an unconscious person. That is what this student did. So from all accounts, he's the all-American boy. He's an athlete. He goes to Stanford. He's worked hard. He was thinking about the Olympics. He was a swimmer. And then there was one night of drinking. He and the victim had been drinking, and he found his victim behind a dumpster, unconscious. And witnesses saw him assaulting her. So do you not think it's important that we talk about the value of life in this situation? You see, this monologue comes from this rape case. A woman was passed out from too much alcohol. And again, she was found behind a dumpster with her rapist, this boy, because I'm not going to call him a man, this boy on top of her. And then he's sentenced to 6 months. We are better than this. Being drunk does not make it okay. Being drunk does not make it okay. If someone is driving a car and they're drunk and they run you over, we don't say, well, it was just one night and they made a mistake. But this goes back to the devaluing of life. Now you may wonder, well, why would this child, it seems like everything's going well for him, why would he have this outlook on life? Well, I want you to hear the letter that his dad wrote to the courts. This is the letter that his dad wrote to the courts. Listen to this. As it stands now, Brock's life has been deeply altered forever by the events of January 17th and 18th, which is when the rape occurred. He will never be his happy-go-lucky self with that easy-going personality and welcoming smile. His every waking minute is consumed with worry, anxiety, fear, and depression. You can see this in his face, the way he walks, his weakened voice, his lack of appetite. Brock always enjoyed certain types of food and is a very good cook himself. I was always excited to buy him a big ribeye steak to grill or to get his favorite snack for him. I had to make sure to hide some of my favorite pretzels or chips because I knew they wouldn't be around long after Brock walked in from a long swim practice. Now he barely consumes any food and eats only to exist. These verdicts have broken and shattered him and our family in so many ways. His life will never be the one that he dreamed about and worked so hard to achieve. That is his steep price to pay. Listen to this. That is his steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action out of his 20 plus years of life. The fact that he now has to register as a sexual offender for the rest of his life forever alters where he can live, visit, work, and how he will be able to interact with people and organizations. What I know as his father is that incarceration is not the appropriate punishment for Brock. He has no prior criminal history and has never been violent to anyone, including his actions on the night of January 17th. So he's saying that this rape wasn't violent. That's what this dad is saying. Brock can do so many positive things as a contributor to society and is totally committed to educating other college-age students about the dangers of alcohol consumption and sexual acts. By having people like Brock educate others on college campuses is how society can begin to break the cycle of binge drinking and its unfortunate results. Probation is the best answer for Brock in this situation. Allows him to give back to society in a net positive way. So now, is it clear why this son didn't value life? This letter says, in reality, it says that rape equals 20 minutes of action. And he blames this on alcohol. He doesn't blame this on his son. Is this what we have come to as a society? Do we not care more about life than this? We must, folks. I mean, this isn't, you know, I've been watching the news today, and they've been talking about the epidemic that's going around the country. And they can call it rape culture. They can call it whatever they want to call it. But what they refuse to deal with, what they refuse to deal with is this stems from the devaluing of life at every stage. We have a movie in theaters right now that is celebrating assisted suicide. It's called Me Before You. Even the title is the most selfish title you'll ever hear. So all the way to Hollywood, we are seeing clearly that life doesn't have value. So then why are we surprised that a drunk 20-year-old finds an unconscious female behind a dumpster, and instead of helping her, he takes advantage of her? Now, we should be angry. We should be upset. We should stand against this, but we can't do that in a righteous way if we don't first say that life has value. You see, I'm not just talking about life in the womb. That certainly is included. And a lot of people, because I work at Hope Resource Center and that's the work that we do, we kind of pigeonhole that to, well, you're pro-life for babies in the womb. No, this lady who was unconscious behind a dumpster has value. You know, and even the guy that took advantage of her, he has value. But what he needs to understand is consequences come for his actions. But this goes so much further, because we have to, as parents, as people that are going to church, as we go about our daily lives, we have to show that life has value. Because if we don't, this will continue. It will. And it must stop. And so if you're raising your boys to be men and your girls to be ladies, that'll go a long way in correcting this terrible problem that we have going on college campuses and all across this country. When we come back, I'm going to read you a letter that I've written to this dad to explain my thoughts and the error of his ways. We'll be back. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. The first segment, we dove into a case that is happening out west with a Stanford student athlete who has been charged with raping a young lady, and eventually meant he only was sentenced to 6 months. Only 6 months for taking advantage of this young woman. So what we're talking about today is value and the value of life. Does it even exist anymore in our culture? And if you watch the news, you'll see plenty of pundits and commentators that are getting all bent out of shape about this case and other cases like it. And they get bent out of shape when people are wrongfully attacked or killed or raped or fill in the blank. But they devalue life every opportunity they get. And so this stems back to, what are we doing inside of our homes? What are we doing in our everyday lives to show that life actually does have value? So I read a letter just a little bit ago from the dad of the guy that was arrested for this rape. And the dad wrote a letter to the courts on behalf of his son, which you know, being a dad to a son, I completely understand that. So after reading that letter, what I want to do is I've written my own letter. And I've written my own letter to what I've called the Stanford Dad. So I'm going to read that to you, and then we'll discuss. So, dear Mr. Turner, you don't know me and probably don't care to know me, but I've been watching the case involving your family, and I felt the need to write to you. I cannot imagine what you're going through. I'm sure this case has absolutely rocked your family and altered all you hope to be for your future and the future of your son. I couldn't imagine going through this scenario with my son and watching as his hopes and dreams were dashed because of a choice he made. It would crush me and his mom to see him hurting, full of anxiety and a shell of his former self. Please know that I am praying for you and him. With that being said, I also want you to know that I'm a father of two girls as well, daughters that I love and cherish, daughters that have hopes and dreams for a future without a blemish, daughters that are similar to the woman your son preyed upon, daughters that may make the mistake one day of drinking too much, but never hope to be devalued enough that a man would force himself on them during that weak moment. I'm writing to you today because of your letter to the courts. Again, I understand your plight. I would do all I could for my son, but doing all you can at the expense of his victim seems out of sorts to me. Is his life, goals, dreams, and future plans greater than that of his victim? Is his lack of appetite, increase of anxiety, and loss of scholarship comparable to his victim who was violated on the street corner like a stray animal? Do you care more about his athletic achievements and his performance in the swimming pool than how he treats a female? Does his hard work overshadow his complete disdain for a young woman? You may truly believe that your son's immediate consequences are enough and that all should move on, but I think you're missing a greater point. His victim is a life that was disregarded. His victim will now look over her shoulder everywhere she goes. His victim will never be the same again. She's not simply an intoxicated and unconscious woman. She is a life that has value. She is someone's daughter, sister, cousin, and friend. You call your son's crime 20 minutes of action. Well, sir, those 20 minutes changed the trajectory of a life forever. You're defining rape as a simple action is distasteful, dishonest, and a slap in the face of victims everywhere. You are stating in simple terms that this victim is not a victim at all. You are looking her in the face and comparing your son's lost appetite to her loss of value. This points to a greater issue facing our society, an issue that we refuse to discuss. How can we possibly argue that life has any value if we refuse to recognize the value of people? Do you recognize that? Do you recognize this victim as a person with feelings, hopes, and dreams, or a drunk girl that had it coming? Your outlook on her value matters. I know this is a difficult situation, but your lack of acknowledgement for this woman that your son made a victim is troubling. I am troubled because in my line of work, we see victims like this often, and they are riddled with insecurity, hurt, and lack of value. Some have accepted their lot in life and have now connected their rape to their value. This is very serious consequences that drive these victims to drugs, abuse, or even death. Your letter to the court, although well-meaning, offended me as a dad of a son and daughters. We as parents should always be seeking to share our value of life with our children. This can be hard at times, but it must be done. Your distasteful representation of rape as simply 20 minutes of action has only furthered the devaluing narrative. Your concern for your son's love of steak over this young lady's rape is truly remarkable and points to a larger and much sadder truth. Your focus on me over another is disheartening, and I'm afraid a mirror to a much larger cultural narrative. This is damaging to so many and ultimately will be damaging to your son as he fails to face the serious consequences of his crime. Part of being a dad and a man is standing up and taking responsibility for your actions, even if those actions have dire consequences. I know that this is tough for you and your wife as you watch your son struggle, but your son chose to drink too much and forced himself on an unwilling and unconscious female. Choices were made here by your son, and those choices, regardless of how long they took, changed a life forever. My goal with this letter is to not beat you up. My goal is to point out the root of the problem in today's society. This all stems from a devaluing of life. Your son could have sought help for a woman in need of assistance, but instead, he chose to attack and take advantage of her for immediate satisfaction. This doesn't happen when we have a proper sense of the sanctity of life. We will continue to see young women preyed upon until we give the value of life its proper place on our priority list. Life is truly the greatest gift ever given, and we fail to steward that gift when we attack, disregard, and dismiss the another around us. I prayed for you and your family today, sir. I know the next few weeks will be difficult and the months will be hard, but know that choices have consequences. And I hope you can see one day that daughters have value too. This victim, this woman has value too. So as we look through everything that is going on around our country, we must step back and truly see how are we going to change the direction that we're going in. And I'm just going to let you know, it's not a political candidate. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Hillary Clinton. It's not Bernie. Folks, it has to start in our homes. It has to start in our schools. We have to care enough about our children that we want them to be God-fearing men and women. Teaching them the way to treat one another. This is more important than sports, scholarships, or an appetite. How much time do we spend on trying to make our child the next star athlete instead of trying to make our child a man or a woman? We must work at this. And folks, it is work. This is not easy. It is not easy. Loving another only happens if we value life. So do you? Do we? Are we modeling that for our children? Because what we see in this case is we see a son, did he make a mistake and drink too much, and then did alcohol probably affect his actions? Sure. But he still made a choice. Now, why do you think he made that choice? Why is the reaction of so many to either take advantage of a situation or pull out their cell phone and film the situation instead of actually trying to help someone in a tough situation? It's because we don't truly understand that life is valuable. Why do people rob and mug people? It's because they don't understand the value of life. It's this me, me, me society. And so if you see that in your kids now, then we need to start correcting that now, because they're going to pay for it when they're 20 and they make a poor decision that is going to not only affect their lives forever, but like in this case, it's going to affect a victim's life forever. We'll dive in more when we come back.
Man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready.
That's DC Talk. Well, I haven't heard that song in forever. That's a great song. DC Talk, go on the cruise. You want to see them. You want to spend a lot of money to go see DC Talk reunite. You should do that. But man, that's good. I had all their cassettes back in the day. Love some DC Talk. Well, this is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Today's show is a little bit heavier than most, and maybe a little bit angrier than most. I apologize for that, but a lot of frustration has been built up regarding this case of the guy in the Stanford student and the rape. And folks, I'm just letting you know, our society is at a crossroads. We argue against the rape culture, and rightfully so. But we disregard the role of men and women to be men and women. The rape being discussed in the media points to this crossroads. We are raising a populace of immediate satisfaction, of me over self, of do what makes you happy. And I talked a few weeks ago, do what makes you happy mindset is the most damning philosophy that anyone could push. That doesn't mean I don't want you to be happy. But your selfish desires, just think about it. Someone could sit down with this 20-year-old and say, well, do what makes you happy. And he could say, well, I did. She was unconscious. What's it matter? She didn't even know what was going on. It didn't hurt anybody. So he was taking that argument to its fullest extent. Now, you would look at me and say, well, that's insane. No one takes the argument to its fullest extent. Well, then don't make the argument. Just don't make it. But what was he looking for? He was looking for immediate satisfaction. Why were they drinking? Why were they partying? Because they were looking for immediate satisfaction. Not thinking about, hey, my action here could put me on a sexual offender list for the rest of my life. My action here could completely ruin this young lady. My action here could embarrass and ruin my family's name. No, he wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about my immediate satisfaction. Well, that's what we've done in culture, is we've created this sense of immediate satisfaction. Everything's at your fingertips. Accept any and all. And then they say, well, then my side will make the argument, well, that's a slippery slope. You change marriage, next thing you'll know, you'll change bathrooms. Well, guess what, folks? They're changing them. And now there's articles out there that are trying to normalize pedophilia. Go read Vox.com. They're interviewing actual pedophiles who are trying to say, hey, we're a people too. So it's not some trumped up, made up, slippery slope. It is real. And so that means we have to understand the importance of valuing life. And not just playing the short game, but playing the long game. So why are we surprised when these things happen? We can't have it both ways. Either life has value at every stage, or it doesn't have value. Like, it really is that simple. Either we have roles or we don't. Either we treat men as men and women as women, or we don't. These are not difficult concepts. But if we were teaching chivalry, if we were teaching, hey, men, open the door for your lady. Hey, men, tip your hat to the lady. Hey, men, take your hat off in the presence of a lady. Hey, men, let the women walk in front of you. Hey, men, don't let them walk next to the road. Let them walk on the inside of the sidewalk. If we were teaching these things, this girl would not have been raped behind a dumpster like some stray animal. She would have been assisted and helped. But no, we want to get rid of roles. We want to get rid of all of that. We want to get rid of gender. We want to get rid of those things. So that what? So that we can live in a society where everyone is doing what makes them happy? So that kids are abused, women are raped, and some men are mistreated? Is that what we're wanting to do? These are the discussions that people don't want to have. Because it all goes back to the value of life. Because if you look at anyone and say, life has value at certain stages, but not at all stages. And I've said this before. If you devalue life in the womb and devalue life at the latest stage via doctor-assisted suicide, then ultimately you have devalued life at every single stage. There is no middle ground. So if that is our motivation, and if that is what we're telling on the news, the same pundits that are coming out, and rightfully so, attacking this dad for his letter and saying that this sentence is not harsh enough, the same ones that are doing that will be the same ones that come out tomorrow and say, do what makes you happy. Women should be able to go into the draft. Anybody can use any restroom. Marriage doesn't matter. Abortion is okay. Assisted suicide is okay. Well, then don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when we see what we're seeing. Are we teaching this at home, school, or church? Or do we care more about the stats on the field or on the court? Do you care more about your child hitting home runs and making it so that you can live through them so that they can be the athlete you never were? Or do you care about them leaving a legacy and being the man that they've been called to be? Which is it? Or being the woman that they've been called to be? These are fundamental questions in need of answers. We are seeing the fruits of society's labor daily at Hope Resource Center. This labor is failing us. Hear me when I say that. What society is pushing is failing men and women on a daily basis. Because we see women that come in that have been abused and mistreated or even raped, and they've now equated that to their value. Why? Because no one has stepped in at any point in their lives and showed them that they matter. And even though this guy abuses me, he at least shows me some kind of attention. Shame on us. We are better than this. At least I want to assume that we are better than this. This isn't an inner city or a trailer park issue. Do you understand that? Like, I think so many times we act as if this only happens in the streets of downtown or in the outskirts of some rural podunk area. Well, it's not. This is stretching to all parts of the country, all corners, gated communities, the suburbs, and to Hollywood. We must do better. We must desire more and raise God-fearing men and women. This letter from the dad in this case proves the narrative being pushed fails us. It fails us. Is this a tough situation for a dad and mom to be dealing with this? Yeah, absolutely. I remember when the Boston massacre happened, when the Boston bombing happened at the Boston Marathon. And one of the terrorists was 17, 18 years old. And all I could think about was, he is somebody's baby. And it crushed me. And when I said that to people, they acted like I was insane. That's a terrorist. Well, yes, but that's somebody's son. So I understand this is very difficult for this dad dealing with the actions of his son. But the flippant nature that this dad has taken on the victim shows you the absolute devaluing of life. He played into the culture's hand, and guess what? His son only gets 6 months. Well, society, thank yourself, because that's what happens when we play out your scenarios. When we say that life doesn't have value, then a young lady behind a dumpster that is unconscious doesn't have value. That is what we're faced with. This is why we need family units. Dads to be dads and moms to be moms. Our responsibility is great. So the question now is, what are we going to do about it? Do we feel moved to do anything about it? We must. And as I said earlier, the future generations depend on this. And that's not an overstatement. We're not all revolutionaries, don't get me wrong, but you need to look in your house. You need to look at your children, regardless of their age. And you need to let them read the letter from the rape victim that she wrote. You need to let them read the letter this dad wrote. You need to let them see this case and say, not in our house. Life is valuable. Too many have sacrificed too much for us to throw it all away for the quote-unquote do what makes you happy mindset that will ultimately crash and burn this society as we know it. So we must stand for all that is right and against all that is wrong. There are some that are not going to stand up for this rape victim. There are some that are going to make excuses and say, well, he's going to be a sexual offender the rest of his life. Isn't that enough? Shame on you. This is not okay. Is there a binge drinking problem in young adults at college campuses? Absolutely. But that doesn't give you free rein to go lay down with and own whoever you want to. And all of this starts at the value of life. Do we or do we not see that value? If you do, then these actions are not consistent with our ideals and principles. If you don't, then these are absolutely consistent with your ideals and principles. And you shouldn't be shocked when you see these things happen. We'll finish up when we come back. And we're back. Is that Jeremy Camp? Jeremy Camp. I'm pretty good at these today. Yeah, I like Jeremy Camp. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So glad that you joined us today. Today's been, aggressive a little bit, but I think rightfully so. So I hope that what we'll do from here is meditate on, on the comments today. We need to look in the mirror and evaluate our own value of life. Where does it stand in our priority list? Do we see people as people or not? Or do we see certain segments of population as valuable and other segments not so much? These are questions you should wrestle with. These are questions you should answer with your family. Conversations you should have with your son and your daughter. Because if we can't have these conversations in our home with our family, then we certainly can't have them outside with anyone else. Because we have wandered for far too long. And what we see now in this in this current society and in our culture is the fruits of this current society and our culture's labor. A rape culture doesn't just happen. Like, it doesn't just happen. It has to start somewhere. And so when we're in our schools and we're teaching young kids that abortion is okay, and we're teaching young kids that the family unit doesn't matter, and we're teaching young kids that assisted suicide is okay, and we're teaching young kids, explore your body. Do whatever makes you happy. Go visit those websites. Do whatever works for you. When we're teaching young kids that, then don't be surprised when those young kids go and grow into young men and women and they find themselves raping someone behind a dumpster, seeking immediate satisfaction because this girl's drunk, unconscious, and she won't know any better anyways. Don't be surprised. If I had an opportunity to speak with the pundits that are on TV, I would look at them and I would say, I stand with you. And I stand with this victim, and I stand in opposition to the light sentencing that this rapist has received. But I would follow that up by saying, this is what happens when you push your narrative. This is what happens when we devalue life in the womb, and when we devalue life at the latest stage via doctor-assisted suicide. This is what happens when we teach young men and young boys and young girls that families have no value. This is what happens when we don't take the time to show them what chivalry is. This is what happens. So don't come at me with those shocked faces. Why are you shocked? We are living in a world where, as I said earlier, pedophiles are starting to argue they have a place and they should be normalized. Should they not just seek what makes them happy? So it's no longer a slippery slope fear tactic. It's truth and reality. And so what we have to do is start inside of our home with our children, letting them know. Maybe even within in our home and looking in the mirror and figuring out ourselves, does life have value or not? And once you get that taken care of, let your child know that it does. Let your child know that family matters. There used to be a show called Family Matters. What a crazy idea. Let them know that that matters. Let your young boys know how to be a man, and your young girls know how to be a lady. Because it's a missed art in our society. And if we don't start doing that, guess what? The World War II generation, those that have sacrificed so much, they're dying off. The ones that were full of chivalry, the ones that treated women like they were supposed to be treated and did things the right way, not to say they were all perfect. But they're no longer going to be here, so now the baton is being passed to us. What are we going to do with it? So does life have value or not? And what we have to recognize as a society and as a culture, that includes those in the womb, that includes those outside of the womb, and at every single stage of life, they have value. And when we start hammering that home to our kids, when we start teaching that in our schools, you'll see less rape culture and more celebrating roles of men and women. I promise you. It's been fun. We'll be back next week.